that your presence is real to us. So we thank you for your presence in our midst right now. We ask that by your presence of the Holy Spirit that you would give to us revelation knowledge today. Let us take your word and receive it in our hearts and minds as real. Let it become a sweet, sweet sound as we hear your voice, Lord. Let your voice be as sweet to us as our voice is sweet to you. Lord, we offer you our hearts and minds right now. We open ourselves to hear from you. And we ask that in Jesus' name, that as you give us revelation, you would always give us knowledge and understanding and wisdom to apply your word to our lives. And we thank you, Lord, for your manifestation, that you will show up mightily among us. And we thank you that as you do, we will tell everyone that we know and impart to them the truth that we learn from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Tell your neighbor, you have a purpose. Tell your other neighbor, your purpose is important. Glory to God. Sometimes we have plans, we want to do things the way we want to do them, and then every now and then, as we're doing it, God shows up and says, do this. Turn your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 18, verse 16. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 16. We've been talking over the last several weeks. We've been talking on the theme of go. We've been using the foundation scripture of Matthew chapter 28, go into all the world and preach the good news to every creature. So as we've been going along with that message, today we want to talk about purpose. We talked about a variety of things, but today we're going to talk specifically about purpose. But I want to begin with this first thing. Proverbs 18, verse 16 says, a man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. Now, a man's gift makes room for him. Now, what that means is, politics don't make room for you. Your gifts make room for you. See, what has happened in our world is that our world has become dependent upon tricks and schemes. And we become dependent on manipulation and all kinds of various things. And people play a lot of games in order to be blessed. And I'm not talking about church world. I'm talking about the world in general. The world has become has developed a survivor mentality. Outwit, outlast, outsmart. We want to be smarter than everybody else. We want to do everything with everybody. And when you go into the world, you see a very clear pattern of people with that kind of behavior, trying to find their way. But the problem is, it's just like the show Survivor, eventually you're going to get voted off the island. You can manipulate or try and do things to get your way, but eventually it's going to catch up with you. We can short circuit systems. We can try to do whatever we want to do. But the fact of the matter is when it's all said and done, only your gift will make room for you. I meet people all the time, and in my previous occupation, I did a lot of work with people to identify next steps in their careers, and whether they were displaced or whether they were out of work or whatever the case may be. And one of the common things is that people would always do is they would discount their gifts. And you talk to somebody about where their gifts are, and we don't know where our gifts are. We're not sure where we're gifted. We're not sure what we have. And so a lot of times we have overlooked God's purpose for us because we judge our gifts based on other people's assessment or opinions of us. All of us that were educated in the American education system, whether you went to private school, you went to public school, or you didn't go to school at all. Here's a reality. Hello. Here's a reality about that. Here's a reality about school. This young man is going to go to school one day. When he gets to school, the teachers are going to evaluate him whether he's intelligent or not. And they're going to gauge his intelligence based on one of several factors. Can he read well? Can he write well? Can he do math? Can he be quiet in class? So those are three types or forms of intelligence: the ability to read and process information, to be able to do math, to be able to speak clearly, to speak well. Those are all gifts. And most of us go to school and come out of school, and if you didn't do one of those three things well, you didn't think you're smart. You didn't think you were intelligent. You didn't think you were gifted. The only other thing that gets registered in school is whether you're an athlete. And then even athletes are not considered intelligent. They're just considered gifted. But here's what God has done. God created a world in which man is not dependent on his own personal intelligence. Because if I took the greatest engineer that's educated in our system and I dropped them in the middle of the desert in North Africa and told them, build a pyramid, he won't be able to do it. You know why he won't be able to do it? Because he's been taught a way of thinking that will prevent him from being able to do what those people, with no electronic tools, with no gasoline, with no cranes, with no steel, were able to do. But he's intelligent. He's smart. See, there's different kinds of wisdom and understanding. There's different kinds of knowledge. There's different kinds of things that we have to know. But if you gauge yourself by the world system, you will not value what God has created you to be. Because if it doesn't fit in those boxes, you don't think highly of it. Well, I got bored in school. I went to school and I did well in the first few years, and then eventually I figured out I don't have to study to know this stuff. I'll figure it out in class. Why do the homework when I'm gonna catch up in the classroom? That's how I started thinking. Now, why am I going down this road? I'm going down this road because there are people in the body of Christ who are not walking in their purpose because they don't value the purpose God has for them. There are many of us who don't walk in the purpose that God has ordained us for and destined us for because we're still caught up in how we did in school. We're still caught up in how we think about ourselves. We're still caught up in viewing ourselves in that process. And there's some of us who did well in school who become so proud that you won't listen to God. Paul said it like this. He said, see in your walk that they're not a whole bunch of smart people among you. You know why? Because they're believing in their smartness. They're believing in their wisdom. They're believing in their humanity. But humanity has one problem. It's mortal. It's going to die. No matter what you have that you build up from an earthly perspective, at some point or another, it's going to let you down because it's not designed to sustain. It's only designed for a season. Your purpose is not short term. Your purpose is eternal. I'm going to read you something from Miles Monroe. He wrote several years ago, and I'm not sure where he got it from, but I'll give it to you. He has what we call seven laws of purpose. I'm going to give you these laws real quick, and I'm going to give you a couple of scriptural foundations with them. But they're important to understand because when you think about your purpose, you need to be able to separate who you are from what you are. See, who I am is I am Derry Moten. I grew up in Oakland. I went to this high school. I went to this college. I was in the Marine Corps. I did this. I did that. That's who I am. That's not what I am. See, what I am is I am the gifts that God put in me. I am the things that God has deposited and stored in me. That's what I am. And when I operate those things make room for me, even if who I am is not enough for the people around me. So you can judge me by whatever you want to judge me, but that doesn't make a difference because the gift that God has put in me will make space for me whether you like me or not, whether you love me or not, whether you want me here or not. The gift will make room because that's what God's word says. Listen to these. Number one, God is a God of purpose. Everything God does, he does with a purpose. When God created the heavens and the earth, on day one, he had a purpose. He had a plan. He had an objective when he started. He didn't just start creating stuff and then man showed up. No, God had a design. God already knew, I'm a God of purpose, and what I do for a reason. I create the earth first. I create the water first. I create these animals next. I create this next. I create to separate the darkness from the light. I do this, this, this. I create a garden for man. Now, on the last day, the sixth day, now I create man and put him there. Because God is a God of purpose. He's a God of design. But what we've been cheated of is people of church, we've been taught that if you're going to operate in faith, you can't make no plans. And that's why a lot of people of faith are broke and broke down, because they're not making no plans. But God is a God of purpose and plan. God looks ahead. Jehovah Jireh, we call him Jehovah Jireh. He's not the God who makes it up on the spot. He's the God who looks ahead and makes provision. That's who God says he is. So take heed how we hear. Amen. Principle number two, God created everything with a purpose. Cat, rat, bat, gnat, they all got a purpose. They all have a reason for being here. All of them. I hate gnats. But they have a reason for being here. Just because you don't like it don't mean it shouldn't be here. How many of y'all like gnats? I didn't think so. See? But they have a purpose. They have a reason for being here. They're created by God for a purpose. They are here for a reason. Rats are here for a reason. You're here for a reason. You have a purpose. Everything God creates, he creates with a purpose. Look at real quick. I'm going to take you to Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. Jeremiah 1, verses 4 and 5. Check this out. Jeremiah is a prophet, Old Testament prophet of the Lord. And God comes to him and speaks to him. And this is what the Lord says to him. He says, the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I sanctified you and ordained you a prophet to the nations. In other words, before he was even born, he had a reason for being here. I know a person, not one person, I know many people who were taught that because their parents weren't married when they got together, or they weren't planned, that they were accidents, and you grow up with an accident mentality. I'm an accident here. I'm here for an accident. I'm supposed to be here. No, you are. You're supposed to be here. You have a purpose. You're not created without a purpose. Just because you got here a different way doesn't mean that you don't have a purpose. When you look over God's word, you find that David, the great David, the King David. When you read scripture and you look very closely, it appears that David was not the full brother of his other brothers. When you read a passage of scripture, there's a passage where David is a child. And a prophet comes to their house and tells his father, he says, listen, one of your sons is going to be king of Israel. And so the father begins parading six sons in front of him. The warrior. Then he parades the good-looking one. Then he parades the tall one. And he goes through all six. And the prophet says, there got to be another one because none of these are the right ones. God's not looking at the external. You brought me a whole bunch of people who look right. I'm looking for the one who is right, who has a purpose, who was designed to be here. And all six are there. Only one is not there. And the one is out tending sheep. Why would he be out tending sheep when all the rest of them are there? Because many people believe he didn't have the same mother. He was an illegitimate child. So he wasn't in the house with the other brothers. He was out. But God didn't want them. He wanted that one out there. He wanted the one that don't fit with everybody else, the one nobody else can understand their purpose, their reason for being. He wants the one who everybody else is looking at and is judging and doesn't understand who they are. That's who God wants. Why? Because those are the ones many times who understand it's God and not people. Some of us are the ones who don't fit into everybody else's boxes. Some of us are the people who everybody else looks at and they don't quite understand who you are or what you are. And because people don't understand you, you're already fit because you ain't trying to please nobody because don't nobody accept you anyway. Nobody accepts you already, so guess what? I'm ready to stand for God. Your gifts and your purpose will make room for you. Everybody is created with a purpose. Every single person. Number three, every purpose is not known or understood. Some of us are born, have gifts, have talents, but we don't understand them. We don't understand what we have. And so sometimes we walk around not really sure because we don't really know what it is that we have. Because every purpose isn't known. So we struggle sometimes with our identity. And the enemy plays games with our identity because we don't know who we are. And because we don't know who we are, we become susceptible to other people's opinions. I had a friend, he and I were working together, and we drove somewhere away from our work site, and we walked into this restaurant. And this guy says, man, how tall are you? I said, man, I'm 6'6". Okay, we go on to the next place. We drive a little way, stop at this other place. Somebody else says, man, how tall are you? I said, I'm 6'6". So we get in the car, we go somewhere else. Third place we go, somebody sees me and says, how tall are you? And now the guy with me is agitated. He said, man, he's 6'6". Stop asking him that question. The guy's like, hell, man, what? I'm just asking a question. I said, dude, don't worry about it, man. I said, it happens all day long. He said, how can you take that? It's who I am. It don't bother me because I know who I am. If I was your height, if you was my height, you'd be doing just what I'm doing. You'd be doing, don't tell me if you was my height, you'd be playing the NBA. You would not be playing the NBA. You'd be riding in this car with me. That's where you'd be. You talk a lot of trash about what you ain't experienced. Every purpose isn't known. People see you and assume that they know your purpose. People see me and want to put a box around me. You're supposed to be a basketball player. No, I'm supposed to be what I am. Well, did you ever play? Yeah, I played. Were you any good? Yeah, I was good. But I ain't playing. Do you want to hear the whole story? Or can you just accept the fact that's not my purpose? And if it was my purpose, I wouldn't be playing no more. was I supposed to do with the rest of my life? I was going to play. If I did play, I was going to probably play between I was 22 to I was 35, 36 years old, 40 if I'm lucky. So what was I supposed to do the rest of my life? If that was my purpose, that was never my purpose. It might have been something I did, but what I do is not my purpose. So we got to separate. People want to stick you in a box. It ain't going to be one box I'm going in. And when I go, I'm not going to be there. You know what I'm saying? That's the only box. That's the only box I'm going. This body's going to go in the box, but I'm going to be gone out the box. I'm not going to be in the box. Other than that, no boxes. Amen? Number four, where purpose is not known. Remember, every purpose isn't known or understood. But wherever purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. Now, I have this bottle here. This bottle has some oil in it. Okay, we use the oil to pray for people, whatever. You can take this oil, and this oil, we use oil because it represents the Holy Spirit, right? So this bottle, if I determined that this bottle holds stuff, I'm going to try to use that bottle for a toothpick. It's not going to work, right? So I'm going to be taking that bottle and trying to put it in my mouth. And I'm going to mess up my teeth trying to use something for what it's not intended to be used for. If people take Q-tips and try to go all down. You're supposed to clean the inside. You're supposed to go all down up in there. You're not using it for its purpose. It's not designed to go all down in there. It's designed to be narrow and go around and clean. You know, keep it clean. But it's not supposed to go all the way down there. If you misuse something, abuse is inevitable. God gave every green herb on the plant for man to eat. Where purpose is not understood, abuse is inevitable. Is that clear enough? God gave us everything that pertains to life and to godliness. But when we don't understand the things, we misuse the things. We misuse things if we don't understand them. When I first got married, I didn't understand the purpose of a wife. So I kept running into walls because I don't understand. I'm in a bad place because I don't understand. I'm having trouble because I don't understand. I'm not figuring out how to interact with my wife because I don't understand. Because we don't understand each other. God designed the woman specifically, God designed the man specifically. When we don't understand the purpose behind God's design, we abuse each other. We don't treat each other properly. We don't care for each other properly if we don't understand. Where purpose is not known or understood, abuse is inevitable. Money has a purpose. When money is misused, it's going to be abused. Amen? Turn to Isaiah 29, verse 16. Isaiah 29, verse 16 for this next one. I'm going to read this passage to you first, and then I'll tell you what we're talking about. Next principle. Isaiah 29, verse 16. Are you with me? And it says this, surely you have things turned around. Shall the potter be esteemed as the clay? Shall the thing made say of him who made it, he didn't make me? Or shall the thing formed say of him who formed it, he has no understanding of me? Principle 5 is this: to discover the purpose of a thing, never ask the thing. See, in this passage, it's the clay saying to the potter, "You didn't make me. You don't understand me." When all before this is talking about how God shaped and how God worked with the clay. You can't find your purpose asking yourself. See, I grew up asking myself what I was supposed to do. And so I was going to play football, but I couldn't gain any weight. So then I was going to play basketball, and then I got hurt. So then I'm going to be an architect, but I dropped out of college. Then I was going to be a Marine, and I just said, oh, man, forget that. Then I was going to be a banker, and I got bored. And then I was going to do this and that and this and that. Why? Because I keep asking myself, what am I supposed to do? And it sounds good for a while, but then it runs its course. If you want to know the purpose of the thing, don't ask the thing. So what do? Go to Jeremiah 29, verse 13. If you haven't figured out, Jeremiah and Isaiah are right next to each other. Jeremiah 29, verse 13. Since you can't ask yourself about your purpose, you need to ask God. Purpose is found in the mind of the Creator. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity." If you want to understand your purpose, you got to go to God to get your purpose. It's the only way purpose is really found is when we talk to God about why we were made the way we're made. And so when I began to seek out and search out from the Lord what my real purpose was, I didn't get an answer, I didn't think. But what I did get is I got the keys to discover my purpose. Because God doesn't want to just tell you, God wants you to know. He wants you to experience and understand, because when you experience it and understand it for yourself, then there's a boldness and a confidence that does not leave you asking questions. God let me discover, but he put things in my life in order to allow me to discover. So when I discovered who I am and what I am, then I'm able to walk in it and not think twice about it. To be confident about who you are, to know who you are. See, I always knew who I was as an individual. I knew my background, I knew my family, I knew things about me. I liked my likes and dislikes, but I found out some of my likes and dislikes were false as well. One day when I was first learning how to pray, I said, "Lord, I need a new car. Now I'm gonna pray for all the stuff I know I'm supposed to pray for. I'm going to pray for other people. I'm going to be kind, Lord. I'm going to pray for all these. Everything you want me to pray for is what I'm going to pray for." So I began praying for those things and said, "Now I'm going to pray for myself." I said, "Lord, I need a car. But the word says that if I delight myself in you, that you'll give me the desires of my heart." I said, "So Lord, I desire a Porsche 911 Carrera. I desire this, Lord. That's what your word says. If I delight myself in you, you will give me the desires of my heart." So I'm telling you what I desire. And I began praying for it every night. I'm praying for everybody else first. I'm not trying to be greedy. I'm praying for everybody else. Now I pray for my needs. And so as I'm praying that night, as I'm praying this night, all of a sudden, I saw something. I didn't see the Porsche. I saw something else. I saw another car. I said, wow. I said, man, I like that. 2 days later, I'm riding the car with somebody else, and there's the car, same car I saw. I'm like, wow. So my friend pulled over. He said, man, I'm going to look at this car. He jumps out of the car. He starts looking at it. I never got out of the car. I looked at it. I said, that's mine. Because all of a sudden, it was just this faith of confidence just rose up. That's mine. See, what I found out was there's programmed desires and there's true desires. See, the programmed desire was my lifestyle and seeing people driving this Porsche and thinking, yeah, that's the life I want to live, so that's what kind of car I want, rather than what really is in my heart. Because whether you know it or not, the world system is paying a lot of money to impress your mind with how you need to think. It's called advertising. They pay billions of dollars to program you how you want to think, and it covers over what's really in your heart. You know what happens to a lot of people? People go away to the mountains. They go to a third world country and they get quiet where there's nothing else going on. And all of a sudden, they discover themselves. You know why? Because all the noise got cut away. You finally got a breakthrough from all the noise. And all of a sudden, I know who I am again. Because we don't realize how much our minds are being conformed to the world. The world is doing everything it can to get you to think a certain way. The world is getting us to think. The news, the advertisement, it's all coming at you to program how you think. It's caused to get you hopeless, to believe that everything is going wrong in the world. Now, there's lots of stuff going wrong in the world, but guess what? It's not as bad as we think. We say, man, the world must be coming to an end, all the stuff that's going on. Guess what? The crazy stuff that's going on now has been going on forever. It's been going on all along. The fact of the matter is just now in your face. Man's getting wickeder than he ever was. No, he's not. Man was so wicked, God said, I'm pouring water on this thing. Purpose is found in the mind of the Creator. Last principle, God's purpose is the key to your fulfillment. Not thrills, not accomplishment. It's only God's will that actually is the key to your fulfillment. You'll never really be fulfilled until you learn what God has for you. When God showed me where my gifts were, and I started using my gifts, it didn't make a difference if I did it in front of 2 people or if I did it in front of 1,000. I felt the same no matter what. It didn't make any difference. Because when you discover who you are, you're getting filled from the inside. From the inside. And that's what God wants for us. Proverbs 19. And this will be the last passage I'm going to use, and then we're going to tie this all together down here. Proverbs chapter 19, verses 18 through 21. When you get there, tell your neighbor, your gifts are going to make room for you. And your God wants to show you your gifts. Proverbs 19, verse 18. Chasten your son while there is hope. Do not set your heart on his destruction. A man of great wrath will suffer punishment. For if you deliver him, you will have to do it again. Verse 20. Listen to counsel and receive instruction, that you may be wise in your latter days. Verse 21, there are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. What this passage says is when your children are young, correct them. Correct them. Don't set your heart on their destruction. In other words, when you don't correct a child, the child is going to lean toward destruction. Because he's already born with sin in his heart. That beautiful baby we christened, she got sin in her. She has to be sanctified by her parents. And then she gets a certain age, she got to determine how she's going to live. God's going to bless her when she accepts Christ. But when we're born with a sin nature. The human being is born with a sin nature, whether we like it or not. All these beautiful kids that we had here today, all them little sinners running around doing their thing. Cute, pretty, whatever they are, sinners. At some point or another, there's some need for us to come to God because there's a void in our heart and the sin nature drives us to try everything but God. So you have to correct children because of their own, they will grow the wrong way. Let's look at the rest of this. A man of great wrath will suffer punishment, for if you deliver him, you'll have to do it again. In other words, somebody who's given always to getting mad about stuff, of great wrath, every time you pull them back, they're going to get mad again. Why? Because that heart nature is going to keep drawing them the wrong direction. That's why if you try to know yourself, you're going to know what's in you. You're going to know what God's plan for you is. Verse 20, listen to counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in your latter days. There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel that will stand. If you want to walk in purpose, you need to get God's counsel. God's counsel is very simply found right here. This is God's counsel for us. This is God's counsel. This is what shows us how to live. This is what shows us the way that we should go. This is what gives us wisdom. When the financial crisis happened, everything I adhered to from here was fine. It's all the stuff I learned from somewhere else that was in trouble. So somebody came to ask me, they said, you're always talking about God and prosperity. How did you do the financial crisis? I said, everywhere I obey God, I'm blessed. Everything else is where it was. It's cursed. Praise the Lord. Because why? God's counsel is going to stand. What does God say about money? He says, give and it'll be given back to you. Good measure pressed down, shaken together. Men are going to give it to your bosom. Guess what? I'm a giver and God gives back to me. That's working. Now, I'm not talking about church giving back to me. I'm talking about my life. I give and so it's given back to me. In other words, I go into the workplace and I give in the workplace. What does that mean? I give them a full day. And it's given back to me. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, favor happens. Because I take my gifts into the workplace and my gift is then making room for me. So, again, our mind, where'd I get that from? I got it from the Bible. I was working in a mail room and all of a sudden I was reading my Bible on a break one day and I read in the book of Colossians, it said, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it as unto the Lord, giving thanks to the Father in him. I said, man, I've been dragging on my job. I said, I got to do my job like God is here with me. I got to do this job as unto the Lord. I got to stop doing this job for these people in here and start doing this job as unto the Lord. I started doing the job as unto the Lord and all of a sudden, without politicking, working around, and all of a sudden, my gift made room for me. All of a sudden, not going around telling anybody, look what a good job I'm doing. No, I'm just doing what I do is unto the Lord. I'm not worried about people, what people say, what people think. I'm doing it, and all of a sudden, great men took notice. And I moved up. I've used that principle every single place I've worked, and it always works. Why? Because it's the counsel of the Lord. You can have plans in your heart. I'm going to college. I'm going to do the right school. I'm going to do this, go do that. Guess what? I work in a place with people that went to Stanford and Berkeley, and I didn't go to either one of them. Why? Not because I'm smart, but because I have the favor of God on my life. I have the favor of God, and I have a boldness about who I am because I know who God has made me to be. And because I am, if I just sit next between somebody from Harvard and MIT and they ask us for our opinions, I'm going to say mine bold as everybody else on the side of me. Why? Because I know they don't got what I got. I got supernatural divine wisdom in this head because God is with me. And God is with you. And God will anoint you and give you understanding to stand among the greatest of men because you don't need certain things. Now, I'm not telling you don't go to school. Go to school and get whatever you can. I'm saying that in addition to that, there's a gear above that gear. You can go higher than that. You can go further than that because God has no limits. Now, five decisions you're going to have to make. Sounds good till I tell you these decisions you got to make. Five decisions you got to make, real quick. Number one, you got to decide to live by faith and not by sight. You can't be moved by what you see. You have to be moved by what God says, His word. Number two, you got to decide to live by love and not by hate. Because your faith is only going to work by love. Book of Galatians tells us that faith works by love. If you try to work and live by faith and you hate everybody, your faith is going to drop. It's not going to work. It has to be founded in love. Next decision, you got to decide to be a victor and not a victim. As long as you're focused on again, things are going to happen to you without a doubt. But as long as you're focused on what's happened to you, you can't look out and see what God's trying to take you to. You can't look ahead when you're looking back. You got to be a person with a big windshield and a teeny tiny rearview mirror. You got to see what's back there for safety's sake, but don't live there. It's a whole bunch of people got a giant rearview mirror, and you can't go nowhere with that. Next decision, you got to decide to be led by the Holy Spirit. Led by the Spirit. How are you led by the Spirit? It's simple. Word. The word becomes the guidance. Last decision, you got to decide to be a need meter. Not a meter as in measuring needs, but a meter as in someone who is willing to be used by God to meet needs. Because when you start meeting needs, you make these decisions, that's how your gifts are going to be operated in. See, how I discovered my gift, what I was gifted to do, and the gifts that God uses me most frequently in, is I decided to meet some needs for some people. I saw something and I stepped in to do it and I discovered something about myself. So when I operate in faith and love and I decided to meet needs, God began to show me who I was. So if you can make those five decisions, then what's going to happen in your life is you're going to start walking to new levels. You're going to start going to new heights. God's going to open doors before you have never thought about. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this word. We thank you that in this day, you will strengthen and equip every person in this room. We thank you for opening doors for every gift. Reveal to every person here who they are. I thank you right now that you have given us this good news of the gospel, that we are saved and redeemed, that we are healed by the stripes of Jesus, that we are made whole in him. And because we are, that you're doing great and mighty things in our lives. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, as we are here and we're unified in this place, we ask that every need that is here, you would manifest yourself. Show every person here who has a need exactly how you can meet their needs by your riches and glory through Christ Jesus. We give you glory for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you stand on your feet?